Next on BYUSN, head coach Kevin Young and BYU men's hoops pick up their first commitment through the transfer portal, bringing a former commit back home. We'll discuss what that means for the future of BYU basketball. The latest reports on point guard Rob Wright III in the portal. Is it really between BYU and Kentucky? And do we like BYU's chances to bring Rob back to Provo?
Two more BYU players entered the portal over the weekend, bringing the total to eight. We'll tell you who and where the roster currently stands and where does BYU go from here. And running back L.J. Martin, the running back, y'all, back for a senior season. He details where he expects BYU's offense to take a step forward.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, April 13th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who always has his eyes on BYU, whether it's in person or on TV, Jerem Jordan.
So football and men's hoops combined, according to Super West Sports, has BYU third.
Love this!
Among the Western teams. And good luck if you can read that. Third behind Oregon.
Just trust us. It says BYU 81, in the third spot.
81 mil, 63 for Arizona. That's a lot of men's hoops there, by the way. And then Brigham Young University there. Utah, love you know, it. Down on love the list it. There. A lot of stirrings on social about that exact point last week from some Utah.
So much media measuring.
It's a Big 12 fault. As I tell my children and the teams I coach, don't blame others.
Angry
own
folks.
Own it.
Angry folks.
Yeah, but that's great. Good viewership and exposure. You know, that's a big deal for BYU. So we love us. Look at our TV numbers. So pretty good.
Ratings are up. It's good news.
Yeah.
It's good news. So rise and shout. Let's get to more good news. It's time for What's Trending.
The transfer portal's crazy.
Unnamed player out of the SEC, rumored to be landing at BYU. Player like Richie Saunders.
If you can grab somebody that has the initials of CC, you're adding something to the fabric of this team that is needed. The goal for BYU is to compete at the national championship level.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
These rules are so dumb, but we abide by them.
BYU men's basketball makes their first move in the transfer portal official. Once again.
Official?
Well, sorry. Every news media outlet in the country,
but us,
except for BYU right now, has made this official that a certain player is indeed coming home. Former BYU commit, leaving his SEC school with a former BYU coach.
We'll just say Kentucky kid. How about that?
Come back to the Beehive State.
There he is.
And now he will be suiting up in BYU blue. He announced it over his social media this weekend. And now it's on in Provo. Can't say his name, but we can discuss what it means for BYU basketball. So let's start there, Jerem. How does this impact Cougar Hoops moving forward?
I'm stoked. I was super bummed when this particular player, you know, followed Mark Pope after his commitment here, goes there. It kind of made sense. I was like, oh man, we were really looking forward to this. Hopefully it becomes official later today or tomorrow, and then we'll talk about it. You all know his name. Great fit. I think it's really important, Spencer, to get as many of the top guys who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, members of the church, as possible.
This is that guy.
He is the best, perhaps, LDS player in the country. So very exciting. His trajectory, yeah, reminds us of Richie because of 9 points a game as a sophomore and a good shooter from three-point land. Of course, he had this crazy dunk that we'll show you in the next couple days early in the year. Excited for that.
One of the dunks
Rocks
of the year
love
in college hoops.
He'll be one of, if not the face of, the program, Spence. So I think it's great. We'll break his fit and his on-court game more down the next couple of days. But top three guy in scoring for sure. Might be the leading scorer for BYU next year. We'll see how it goes. But he'll be a top three important player for BYU. Cannot wait. Love that he's coming back.
40%+ shooter from the three-point line. I believe it was 41% last season. So it is an immediate plug and play. Who's going to be passing him the ball? I have no idea.
Might be you or me. It depends.
But the plan will be find him often and let him cook. He likes to shoot a lot of threes. I think that he will be absolutely a double-figure scorer. You're right. He might lead BYU in scoring next year. It might be 15 to 16 points a game.
I think he goes up to that place, yes. He was a kind of a role player, if you will, you know, at the Kentucky kid. So I'm excited about it. I think he steps up quite a bit in his junior year coming up, and I'm stoked about it. We'll break it down more when it becomes a fish, but let's go, man. I just think it's really important for BYU to have as many as possible. They won't get them all. Top members of the church. Now, what you have to understand is, it's not like BYU's not going after these guys. So in the example of Downhall and Tanner Toulson last year, BYU would have loved to have had those guys on the roster. They were asking for a different number than BYU was willing to offer. And if someone offers you six-figure difference in salary,
you
probably go into that other school.
Like, you go.
Well, why didn't BYU offer that more? You only have so much cash. You can't just give it
to... It's not unlimited because everyone on social media tells me it's unlimited.
Like it is. It is not. There's rev share. There's NIL. There's a cap. There's only a certain amount that goes to football, men's hoops, and other sports. You have to operate within that. And you can only really pay like for a good starting five and then a couple of bench guys. And that's kind of what it is. There are rules. And there are sort of internal rules of BYU and so on and so forth. So great that this guy's coming. You can't get them all. But it's nice to get this particular guy. Because I think if I could have targeted any, you know, LDS player in the country, it would have been this kid, dude. Yeah. I'm stoked.
I had one notable BYU staffer send me a text message over the weekend and say, Spencer, from a fan perspective, how big of a deal is it that BYU lands this commitment compared to a guy like Richie Saunders? And I said, naturally, Richie is the king. He's the tater tot king, but this dude is the prince in waiting, Jerem.
Yeah, I like that analogy. I like that. He's even got kind of the curly-ish, blonde-ish hair.
He can ascend to that king throne at some point. He will come to BYU and has a chance to be the next legend. Whereas if he stays at a place like Kentucky, then what I've seen on social media is, yeah, bummer, would have loved to keep him, good player, but meh. Like, what? Okay, to BYU and be a legend.
You only say that now because you lost him.
And we'll see what they're saying.
If he had returned, they would have been like, oh, yeah, this is great.
If indeed he does ascend to the throne, then we'll see and the tune of everyone of the school that he leaves.
And he grew up a big Utah fan. I think we're lucky that Utah is not in a great space in hoops and doesn't have the NIL. Because if they were, he'd probably be a Ute. We are fortunate that BYU is going to have him. Like, that's truth be told, right? And it's great because I think he's going to crush it here. And I do think he'll be in the NBA in a couple years.
BYU gets their guy. It's not official to the university, but if you would like to know his name,
just look at the things we've just been showing you.
Spend 2 minutes watching the show.
Y'all know who it is. Okay, more portal updates. Jeff Goodman of Field of 68 put this out on X last night regarding Rob Wright III, who is in the portal.
Well.
Kentucky's leader for BYU point guard Rob Wright. Wright will visit Lexington Monday. That is today. Breaking news. Sounds like it's pretty much down to Kentucky or back to BYU, source told Field 68, says Goodman. Obviously, things can change in this day and age where big money is involved, but that's how it looks right now. How are you feeling about BYU's potential to retain Rob Wright III?
A little better than I was late last week because I was in the camp of under 5% chance to keep him.
Yeah.
And I understand why Rob and his camp and his dad and his agent, they all want to reassess his value because there is a great demand for a player of his caliber and other schools are willing to throw some wild numbers at him. You have to listen to it.
He's a top five portal guy right now ranked by 24/7 Sports. He's a big deal.
BYU doesn't have unlimited funds, so clearly the understanding is, hey, here is what we can invest in you, commit to you. Apparently, you don't like that. You're going to go try and find out what your value is in the portal. But this tells me one thing for sure, Jerem, that is BYU is not that far off compared to Kentucky. And if it truly is what Jeff Goodman says, it's between BYU and Kentucky, then is it a matter of Kentucky just outbidding BYU by such a significant amount that they're like, okay, come on down to Lexington?
Depends what Rob wants, right?
Because if it's close, then just maybe he was telling you exactly what he felt after the NCAA tournament, which is, if I'm going to play college basketball, I will be in a BYU uniform and I will be back.
In these situations, let's be honest, it's not just the athlete's choice, although he's an adult, right? It is the family, it's the agent. Like, you combine that What is it exactly for Rob? It's probably a mix, right? Because if it was up to Rob, he told me, he'd be at BYU. So he wouldn't have been in the portal at all. So clearly, there are more people whose voices are loud in that. I would suppose that most of us have people that are influential for us that, hey, let's assess this and see if we can't get a little more. Kentucky's hard to turn down, dude. Richie's the rare dude that did turn down Kentucky. Like, will Rob, which, by the way, 24-7 crystal balls him 100% to Kentucky right now. Is he going to pull a Richie and be like, no, I'm going back to Provo? It would be funny, though, if Kentucky kid was traded for Rob Wright III. Does BYU get a second rounder? Is it first rounded protected? How does that work in college? That would be interesting. But I'm like you. I feel better about BYU's chances of retaining Rob than I did. But it doesn't mean I feel great. My sense is Rob probably goes to Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he goes. And what I was told is Kentucky's not upping the ante. They are keeping the initial offer that they gave to him. Louisville was in the mix. Louisville just added a point guard, so he's not going to go there. Was told that Mark, visited Rob in Atlanta and said, hey, get on campus, check it out. So there he is on Monday. So it's up to Rob. What's Rob going to do? Is it about cash? Is it about playing for Big Blue Nation? What it is? We got our own Big Blue Nation kind of going on here too. As a tradition sort of starts at a higher level here with better players and whatnot. So we'll see, man. Would love to have Rob Wright back, though, because you need a point guard like you've been talking about. And then there's a couple other spots, obviously, that you got to fill at this point. So this is a priority, though. If Rob somehow came to BYU, that'd be massive because you'd have, to me, you immediately have a top 20 backcourt in college basketball.
I've probably gone up to, because again, I was like less than 5% chance. Maybe it's like 15 or 20% chance now.
Which, so you're again, saying there's a chance. There if Blaine is, Fowler was here, he would decent, quote Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, there is. If you want to call 15 to 20% a decent chance, and yeah, it's
one
an uptick.
Five. Yeah.
But I'm still with guys like Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports, who from day one, when Rob entered the portal, was very clear about the chance that he gave BYU to retain Rob. Let's remind all of you what he said.
Where things stand now, I don't really like the likelihood of him ending back up at BYU as of this moment. I think there's going to be several teams that will be in aggressive and heavy pursuit for him, to put it politely.
And Kentucky is at the top of that list.
It feels like it's been whittled down quite a bit, though.
Yeah.
Like day one, when Travis is talking there, it's wide open. It's not wide open anymore.
It was Louisville. It was Texas Tech. It was Ohio State, UCLA.
That's been whittled down a little bit here.
So,
and according to Goodman, it's down to Kentucky and BYU.
Yeah. Now it becomes like, is there enough in the BYU investment pool to say, okay, BYU can't get to Kentucky's number per se, but you know BYU, you know that we're going for the transformational experience. Like, we can give you other things that Kentucky can't. Is that enough value to you, coupled with the NIL investment that we can offer you? Is that enough to pull you back to Provo?
Let's explore that, because if a Kentucky fan is watching, they're going, what in the world can BYU offer that Kentucky cannot? So what do we think those things are? It's business connections after.
The network is
incredible. I think the network with BYU, Silicon Valley, and so on and so forth. The development of this coaching staff relative to NBA experience. To me, that is better than the Kentucky staff. Now, does Kentucky have more tradition, bigger fan base, perhaps a bigger NIL package?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. All that. Do they play in the SEC? That's a good league. Big 12 is a great league. Like, those are similar. Is there a history of, like, winning titles at Kentucky? There is, although not extremely recently. At BYU, not as much. Like, we hope that BYU gets to that point. Did BYU just have the number one pick in the probably draft guy? Like, yes, advantage BYU in that regard. So there are pros and cons there for sure. What is it that Rob wants? Only Rob can answer that.
The entry-exit portion of the show now begins as we look at what BYU is also losing, because as of this morning, there are now two new players entering the transfer portal. Abdullah Ahmed Beto announced that he was going on Sunday, and then at about 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time, we got word from Jonathan Givony that Alexi Kostic has entered the transfer portal as well. So let's just go chronologically here and start with Ahmed. Were you surprised that Beto entered the portal?
Not surprised, no. Frankly, are we surprised that anyone goes in the portal? I'm almost surprised if they come back. Like, just tell me who returns, as opposed to jumps in the portal per se. Ahmed, his per 40 is 4.4 blocks. So that's a decent number. He was, you know, struggled from close to the rim to score. Scored 25 points all season. It was tough. It's kind of an experiment. G League guy, like, it made some news. None of those G League guys did anything nationally. Would have liked to have had him return and perhaps be the backup center.
Develop.
Now that he leaves, you go, hey, BYU lost basically everybody. But
where's the size?
Hadeem Boop is the one kind of guy that you could play at the five, although he's a little undersized five. He's more of a four. You got Brody Kozlowski there. So, yeah, BYU needs to get multiple bigs now with Kata, Ahmed, and Xavion Staten committing to Oregon State.
Yeah, I said late last week I thought there was a decent chance that BYU was finished, that no one else was going to enter the portal.
It felt that way.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah, I think we're good. And especially because Xavion Staten had already gone, thought, okay, there's an opportunity here potentially for Ahmed to be that backup guy and develop and have a full offseason. I put a lot of stock into the idea of having a full offseason instead of just being like plug and play midseason.
And his knee wasn't
playing catch up. Exactly.
Up.
You're healthy. You can get right. You can get the coaching you want. Clearly BYU staff, or at least a member or two on the staff, felt good about bringing Beto in. And
I think the connection was Will Voigt with the G League.
Like that mattered. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's going to go assess his value elsewhere because this is the day and age that we live in. Like, it's hard not to buy into that when the idea out there is so heavily permeated that you can always go somewhere else and you'll get more. You'll get more. You'll get more. The grass has never been greener,
right?
Pun intended, with money in the eyes, right? Yeah. Than it is now. And so,
not everyone does that.
No.
But the idea is tempting.
It's a false idea.
Yeah.
But that is the perception.
For some guys,
right now.
Yeah, you can get more elsewhere. But is the overall experience better? It just depends on each player. Kostic is a bummer to me. I wanted Kostic back.
BYU, I think, wants him back.
That was, to me, disappointing because, and maybe he returns, I don't know, but it just feels like when you go to the portal, it's rare that you come back. BYU's had a handful over the years in multiple sports. But yeah, shooters are the holy grail. That's what Kevin Young said after the Texas game. This guy would have been a nice shooter off the bench. He had a really nice stretch there for a minute, especially in the Big 12 tournament and Texas Tech and whatnot at the end of the year. Would have been nice. Does he want to be a starter somewhere? Does he want more cash? Like, yeah, you're probably not a starter here. And so if you want to go somewhere else and start and play more and maybe get more money from I don't know. So that was a bummer. I was hoping Alexei would return.
I think BYU wants him back. And maybe this is just something that he feels he has to do to understand what he's actually worth in the NIL spectrum, and then he can get those figures and decide, okay, because again, BYU has put out all of what they can do for these players.
Oh yeah.
Like, they all know.
It happens very quickly after the season, so that they know.
It's tough in this age of transactions in college basketball. It is difficult if your agent and people around you are saying, well, at least just go see what's out there.
And each fan base wants the players to care about their school as much as they care about the school. It's not going to happen that way. That's just not how it works.
Beto Ahmed and Alexei Kostic are not BYU guys, right?
You, like, Colin Chandler, Kentucky kid, didn't grow up a BYU.
You're allowed one. It's
am
okay.
I? No, I'm not. I'm going to get my wrist slapped later. He grew up a Ute.
Yes.
But he became a BYU guy. When he committed here, he goes to a different school. He comes back. He feels like he's part of the program. And church membership plays into that. Like,
no doubt. Like,
yeah, you're one of us. You get the culture here. You understand how different this place is. But there's not going to be the Richie Saunders sort of loyalty for your guy, all-timer, commit, I'm going to tell no no matter what. That's not going to happen that often. We want it to be transformational, and it will be for those who buy into what this place is. But it is largely transactional, especially in men's basketball. Football takes more development time. There's more patience there for certain guys. Basketball is different, though, man.
It's a different beast.
This is the NBA free agency.
It's crazy.
Like, it's wild.
It is absolutely bonkers what is happening.
And sorry to compliance. My bad.
Okay. And I still hope, I'm holding out hope that Alexei will go out there and be like, you know what? I actually had it pretty good at BYU. Maybe I'm going to stay and get coached up by Kevin Young and the staff. And
I hope so. Chances are probably not.
Yeah. Chances are when you enter the portal, like, you're not you're not returning.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. So as it stands, here is where BYU's roster currently sits.
Every day this is in flux, man.
Where is everybody? Graduation and the NBA draft led off by AJ DiBonsa, Richie Sons.
Waiting for the official announcement from AJ. Yeah. But
Mihailo Boskovic and Jared McGregor. Again, that's expected to enter the NBA draft in AJ's case. In the portal now, eight different BYU players with the latest two, Alexi Kostic and Beto Ahmed.
Yep.
Four unannounced players. And in our time now, does everyone have to say, okay, I'm running
you
it back?
You kind of
I'm
do.
Running it back.
By the way, Dawson Baker, it's not just that he's coming back from an ACL. He's got to get that foot healthy, too. Nate Pickens coming back from an ankle foot injury. Hadeem Boop, Brody Kozlowski. Are you with
confident.
Me? I expect those four to return.
I feel very confident
like I would, like
that
I
those
would,
four are back.
Yeah. But it's only four.
Four.
Right now.
Plus,
we hope that Rob returns.
What BYU has entering, new faces, unnamed five-star recruit will join the
Burger
team.
Burger Boy. Dean Rickert. Brooks Barra from Mission.
Unnamed player from Kentucky will join the roster as well. So there are eight, right? Does that make eight total?
I think so. 7, 8.
All right.
Roster size could be 15. The reality is you need 8 or 9 capable dudes in your rotation. So what that means is you need 10 or 12 players that could be in that mix. Mm. For example, Dom Diamande became a rotational player at the end of the year. At the beginning of the year, he was not. So how are we feeling about the roster for next season? And what's the number one priority in the portal as of today? We now go to Cougar Stats to continue what you were bringing up. Unless someone comes back out of the portal to remain at BYU, team returns the following production for next year. 4% of the points, about 14% of the rebounds, 3% of the assists. So... yeah, new look, Cougs. That's how basketball is. But at this point, even though BYU hasn't added all of its pieces in the portal, they've just added one, I'm still feeling that BYU is going to have a top 25-ish roster and NBA talent and will compete for a top 6 spot in the Big 12 next year, even though we don't even know those guys yet.
Indications are that BYU is doing some nice work in the portal to bring in multiple bigs, and they are in deep conversations with high-level big men to come and play at BYU. They feel very confident about landing multiple of those guys. Like, and I'm going to go with what I'm hearing in my circles, and Jeremy, what you're hearing in your circles, because of the same circles.
Yes.
We talk to the same people who are heavily involved in this.
Yes, specifically at power forward and center, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, BYU's backcourt, the two wings that they have, Kentucky Kid and Burger Boy, I love that we have nicknames, I guess. I feel great about those two, right? You're hoping that you can retain Rob somehow, and then you have to go get a starting power forward and starting center. It is a big ask, but BYU, I was told, I feel confident in plan A, B, and C. That's what I was told. So BYU's got all kinds of options here. Excited about who it'll be. We'll be stoked. Put our arms around them fully. Embrace them. Break down what they did last year. Stoked. Is that international? Is that domestic transfer? It's all kinds of stuff.
Kevin Young has learned some significant, important things in his 2 years at BYU. And he's open to saying, like, yeah, like, we have experimented the way with the AJ DiBonsa approach, where BYU went after a bunch of high-level talent guys that were not necessarily connected to BYU. And then the injuries happened. And then it's like, okay.
Hard to know what that was going to yield.
What does that mean for us? And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I think they're looking for a mix of year one and year two, like core BYU guys, and then sprinkle in those high level pieces. Because it felt like the first year when they went to Sweet 16, it was mostly core BYU guys.
And you had, Foose and Downhall coming off the bench. Like, that might have been the best 1-2 combo off the bench BYU's ever had.
And put in Yegor Gilman.
Very good.
Like, it was incredible.
Like, having you had a top 10 player. Like, in the NBA draft. What? You know, we thought he'd be lottery pick, but he was even higher. So, yeah, you learn. You have reference points, as Kevin said, and you continue to grow.
Well, BYU, for what it's worth right now, does have in the players that are still with the team, or at least entering, a decent contingent of the players that you talked about, of guys that understand the BYU culture and are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. And they can set the groundwork, right? And then you bring in guys and say, hey, this is how we do things here.
That's exactly right. Our question of the day, what's the most surprising thing
that has happened regarding BYU basketball's roster this offseason. And it's been a ton of stuff.
It's still, to me, that Rob went in, given what he said to me. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but I was like, but why? Then why'd you say it out loud then?
It was very interesting because initially we were told, okay, the idea has been established for a few months now that, like, when the season's over, he's going to enter the portal.
Yes.
And that they'll reassess his value.
And we said that out loud on the show.
Like, take it to the bank.
And then he told me that. So I was like, wait, what?
But then I'll be back at BYU.
I think that was him saying what he wanted.
Okay.
I think then other people come in and they say, well, let's do what we were saying earlier.
All right. Let's discuss surprises from all of you. At Bluey and Bandit. David Verl says, Rob Wright in the portal. Everything else was pretty much what I thought was coming.
Would it be more shocking if, like, Brody Kozlowski jumped in the portal than Rob?
I would hate
because
it.
We expect Brody here.
I was surprised that Alexi Kostic jumped in.
Yeah.
I did not expect him to go into the portal.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Yeah. We're on the same page of, like, Brody, Dawson, Nate, Hadeem.
Back.
Stang.
Yes. At V-Ball Josh says, AJ talking about potentially coming back.
Well, as we've learned with Rob, saying something doesn't mean that it will happen that way.
I still have so many people asking me, hey, do you think there's a chance? Like, I mean, he seems to really like it. He, like, loves school and his mom. Yes, but guess what?
Is there any 18, 19-year-old that loves school? Are we sure about that?
He can still graduate. BYU will accommodate him to go and continue to study his courses and get his credits while he is a professional player like that.
Steve Young got a law degree in the offseason while a Niners quarterback. I mean, it can be done.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
If you miss any interviews, shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app to get all BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
After the break, basketball timeout for a little football because LJ Martin is on the show discussing how he's feeling after offseason surgery and where he expects BYU's offense to take the biggest step forward in his senior season. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
LJ Martin running it back.
He's going to go! LJ with the TD.
The combination of Bear Bachmeyer and LJ Martin take BYU into the realm of 10 or 11 wins.
One of the best running backs in the country.
And I would love to see him make history at BYU and leave this place as the all-time leading rusher.
We're running it back, baby!
We continue live from Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Recently, we conducted a series of interviews with notable BYU football players, including running back LJ Martin, to follow up on the always critical Lego project that he's been working on since he had surgery, and talking about some of the numbers that he is chasing and what the team is chasing in 2026. Here's LJ Martin on BYU Sports Nation. LJ, first things first, and because people have been asking, they want to follow up. Have you finished the Millennium Falcon Lego set?
No, I actually haven't. it was a lot longer than expected. And actually, I think I did a tag ship first, right? Because I was like, oh, like, I'm going to finish them, like, really quick. I haven't even finished the tag ship. So, like, I don't know. It just, like, it really caught me by surprise. Because initially I opened the box, and I thought it was just going to be the Legos. And it was, like, two different boxes. And then I take out the book, and it was, like, two books, right? So I was like, oh, that's it. And then it turns out there's two more books. So I was like, so it was like four books in total. So right now I'm on step like 1,040, and yeah, it got a little bit tiring. So yeah, just had to take a pause on it. And yeah, but I think it'll be done. It'll definitely be done by May. I will say that it'll be done by May.
Okay, time out for now, but the Millennium Falcon will be done at some point in May.
Yes, by May for sure. Some point in May for sure.
All right, there you have your update. LJ, it's been great to talk to you, man. As we've pushed to football, because, you know, the actual season is, I believe as of today, 155 days away. The second most important question is, how are you feeling in your injury recovery and coming back?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I mean, the doctors and our support staff, our medical staff, our athletic trainers, and all those guys have been doing a great job getting me right. So, yeah, I'm feeling great.
When do you anticipate that you'll be
at 100% if you had to throw out a date?
I would probably say by like next month I would probably be 100%, but then I won't get officially cleared probably till June. So
okay, so maybe, just maybe, the Lego project and 100% health will happen concurrently.
Yeah, it actually might happen at the same day. So yeah, I think that's honestly what's delaying it. So yeah,
you've had a unique perspective to watch some of the other guys do their thing in spring ball, specifically in the running backs room. Devon Ika is a newcomer. He's garnered some attention and has created some excitement. So through your eyes, what are you seeing from a guy like Devon Ika?
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of ability, so I'm really excited. I mean, he's a really good player, so I'm excited for what he could do. And, he's just a really good player. I mean, you guys have to see him.
I should correct myself. It's Ika. I mean, it's Devon Ika, okay? Regardless, an exciting player. Who else in the room do you feel like could be or play a bigger role for BYU football this fall?
I think, honestly, all of us are able to have a big role for BYU football. I mean, all of us have a lot of ability. I mean, you guys have seen Breheston, Javessa, Sione already. So even guys like Logan, I mean, they're really good. So, yeah, I mean, all of us, I think, have a great chance to go out there and make an impact for BYU.
From your vantage point, what do you feel like BYU accomplished as an entire team this specific spring?
Yeah, I think we did a great job just keeping our standard and just competing against each other and just kind of understanding what it means to compete and just going out there every day and getting better.
You've done a lot of winning. 23-4 over the last two seasons, been knocking on the door, banging on the door of the college football playoff, haven't gotten in yet. So what do you feel like is the secret ingredient or maybe the secret passcode to bust down that door and get in?
Yeah, I mean, there is no secret ingredient, we feel. I mean, it's just consistency in what we do and just showing up and just going out and giving it all every day. And as long as we're doing that, I mean, everything else will take care of itself.
The offense has done some fantastic things over the past two seasons. What do you feel like might be a little bit different or more dynamic this year as you and your teammates progress and gain more maturity on the field?
Yeah, I mean, with Bear coming back and having a little bit more chemistry with his receivers, I mean, I feel like we're due to have a really good passing year. I think it'll be a lot more plays through the year this year, and we got a lot of targets this year. I mean, JoJo, and as far as Kyler, Roger, Walker, those guys, I mean, they're really good players, so I'm really excited for you guys to see them and see what they could do.
Yeah, let's talk about the tight ends a little bit because they are some new guys that have been sprinkled in and they're high level. What has you most excited about what that tight ends group could do, not just blocking for you, but being pass catchers?
Yeah, well, first off, they're really good blockers, so I love that. And then second, I mean, yeah, they're really good pass catchers, just like Carson was last year for us. So, they got a lot of – good ability, so they're able to go out there, catch the ball. I mean, you guys have seen Roger. I think he's from Orem, so played receiver in high school. So, I mean, you guys have seen his receiving ability already. And, I'm just really excited for it to be in a different stadium this time.
You answered this question a few months back when you visited us on BYU Sports Nation. But, again, watching the offensive line in spring football, why do you feel like they'll be revamped and ready after losing some significant key pieces?
The answer is pretty obvious when you're watching it. They just move people, so that's it makes it really fun.
What's it like to play for an offensive line coach and a line that is headed up by TJ Woods?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fun. Yeah, I mean, he's a madman. You know, he's always coming up with different runs and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's real fun to play for him, and then just to play for an O-line with guys like Bruce, Kyle, Pocky. I mean, Sony and AG back there. So, like, just to play with guys like that, I mean, they make it really fun and they just make it really easy, to be honest.
I love that you called him a madman because his energy is infectious and he really is that guy. We'll finish up with a couple of quick hitters. I want to rewind to when you found out that Kalani Sitake was staying at BYU amidst all of the chaos before the Big 12 championship. What was that moment like for you when we found out Kalani's staying, which means the culture is staying intact?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was great for BYU. I wasn't really paying much attention to it because, there's a chance I might be gone anyway. So, I was looking at the NFL a little bit. So, I was just focused on the game, next game. And, yeah, but when he said he was coming back, it kind of just made me happy because I was like, hey, like, now I have somewhere to go for the offseason. I was like, I could always could just come back here for the offseason now. So made it a little bit easier.
Yeah, and I appreciate how forthright you've been about you assessing the NFL possibility. And you've talked about it a bunch of times, but just for those that haven't heard yet, ultimately, what was the deciding factor that brought you back to BYU instead of going to the NFL after such a fantastic season?
Yeah, just the people I'm going to be around. And, yeah, I mean, it's just like people like Coach Kalani, Coach Harvey, and just my teammates. I mean, they're the best people in the world. So, yeah, they just make you fun. And just, yeah, they're just people I enjoy being around. I feel like I'm a better person when I'm around them. So, yeah, that's just one of the many reasons I came back. I mean, I could go on and on, but yeah, between that and just having another opportunity to go out there and have a great season and go out there and, you know, prove a couple things and, you know, go even higher possibly in the draft. So, yeah, just for that opportunity, I mean, I don't see why I wouldn't come back.
Yeah, you've been very open about wanting to chase down some big-time goals, including being the all-time leading rusher at BYU too. How does that motivate you?
I wouldn't say it motivates me. I feel like it's just a byproduct of what happens, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I would wake up, work out, and try to be the best player I could be if I was rushing for 10 yards, you know. So if I could get the record, if I couldn't get the record, nothing would change. So, yeah, nothing's going to change.
Well, finish with this. You told me before we started this interview, this is the first time you've been up in the press box and seen Lavelle Edwards Stadium from this vantage point with the mountains. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, like they say, it's the best backdrop in college football. Hopefully, you know, one day when my playing career is over, I could be up here, be a coach, and yeah, not calling plays because that's too much pressure. But yeah, I would be sick calling plays. I would start throwing up. Yeah, like 4th and 2, big game. I would call like a play. I'd just start throwing up because it's way too nerve wracking.
Respect for A-Rod and what he does.
Because I mean. You could have the perfect play dialed up and someone just doesn't execute and, yeah, it's just done. And it's not even his fault. So, yeah, I could never.
But a position coach maybe?
Yeah, I could do a position coach. Yeah, that would be a little bit easier just to be like, yeah, let the OC take, you know, most of the blame and stuff. And, you know, just, you know. So, yeah, I think a position coach would be a lot more doable. But I'm looking more like a – just like an analyst kind of role, you know, just so I don't take no blame at all. So, yeah, I'd be more happy with that.
I respect the transparency, my friend. It's a lot of pressure at that OC. LJ, good to talk to you, brother. Best of luck to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds great. Appreciate you.
LJ knows his limits, his boundaries. He knows his strengths. Doesn't want to be an offensive coordinator.
I think he'd throw up if he was calling the plays. I'm not sure if that was clear enough. Good luck to him on the Lego set, by the way, Millennium Falcon.
Step 1,040.
That's a lot. My question with LJ, and we were talking this morning on our production call, is does he have to be like the 2025 version of himself for BYU to have the same kind of season that they had? Because he had a great season. Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year was a big deal. 1,300 rush yards, 5.5 yards a carry, 12 touchdowns. Does he have to do that again for BYU to be in Arlington?
I don't know if he has to hit or eclipse the rushing yards total or the touchdown total, but it probably needs to be in the vicinity. He probably needs to be the workhorse again and to spell Bear Bachmeyer, who's going to try and ascend his own way and take that sophomore step forward. But I think he probably needs to go for 1,200 plus and be a double-digit touchdown guy again, because BYU wants to rely on him heavily.
The reason he doesn't have to eclipse the numbers is because Sione Moa is hopefully going to be healthy.
Yeah.
That changes things. That changed the equation. When Sione was out early in the year after ECU and then came back and wasn't quite himself, he's back to himself from the horse's mouth. That will change things. So BYU hopefully will have a great 1-2 punch there with LJ and Sione. That'll be great. Okay, if you miss or want more interviews like that one where you hear about Legos and LJ Martin, fun, you can catch them anytime on demand. We did a bunch from spring football on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
Still on the way, BYU baseball and softball each sweep their series over the weekend.
Hey!
Plus, did BYU men's volleyball pick up their best win of the season? And has it helped their NCAA tournament resume? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. BYU Sports Nation rolls on. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Busy weekend in the transfer portal for BYU men's basketball. Saturday, BYU picked up its first commitment from a notable SEC guard who once signed with BYU out of high school. We'll discuss more on him once he officially signs, perhaps today or tomorrow, we'll see. Yesterday, BYU big man Abdullah Ahmed entered his name into the portal. He averaged 1 point a game, 2.6 rebounds in the 20 games he played last season. And this morning, guard Alexei Kostic entered his name in the portal. He averaged 4 points a game, but really came on at the end of the season, started five games, shot 37% from the field. That one is a bummer. Also, reportedly, Rob Wright III visiting Kentucky today.
10th ranked BYU men's volleyball with a nice split in two matches at home with number four USC this weekend at the Smithfield House. On Friday, BYU won in four sets and then lost in a five-set thriller on Saturday. Setter Tyler Herget had a strong weekend with a season-high 55 assists in the win on Friday and a career-high 14 kills in the loss on Saturday.
That'd be his brother Trevor on that second part. Yep.
Okay. After the weekend's results, BYU now 20-9 overall on the season, 7-5 in the MPSF, and currently sitting in fourth place. The Herget brothers getting it done.
I know, it was fun. Let's see the Bachmeyers connect on it.
Yeah.
Baseball beat Houston 6-1 Saturday, completed the first sweep of a Big 12 three-game series since joining the conference. Not bad. Bryker Herdsman led the Bad Cats offense Saturday, two hits, three runs batted in. BYU 18-16 on the year, 8-7 in league. BYU back in action today at Lamar Odom, with coverage beginning at 7 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Shout out to Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. BYU softball picked up their first three-game series sweep of the season on Saturday, hanging on to beat Houston 10-9 in Game 3 at Miller Park. Elovea Brittingham has busted out of her slump. She was 1-for-28 in Big 12 play going into the Houston series. She had three home runs in the series.
Okay.
BYU now 14-26 overall. They're 5-10 in the Big 12. They're in position, if they can win their remaining home series against the bottom half of the conference, to make the tournament. So maybe turning the tide there. Cougars back in action tomorrow at home against Utah Tech.
In the bigs, Daniel Schneeman, strong weekend for the Guardians, going 4-for-6, two doubles, two runs batted in across two starts against the Braves. He's now tied for 7th in the majors in doubles with 6 this year. And Justin Sterner, my administering companion, pitched one inning of work, allowing one run for the A's in an 11-6 win over the Mets. Picked up his fourth hold of the season, has an ERA of 2.25.
How about some track and field notable performances over the weekend, beginning on the men's side with Ben Barton, who moved up to number 4 on BYU's all-time decathlon record board after finishing first at the Brian Clay Multis in California.
I read it the same way, so don't feel bad.
On the women's side, Zoe Bonds posted the number 6 all-time mark in program history in the heptathlon at the same meet. And Kaya Fisher set the number 4 program mark in the discus at the Weber State Spring Classic. Congratulations to all.
Take that, Gavin Fowler. Number 23 men's golf tees off this morning at the 79th Western Intercollegiate in Santa Cruz, California. BYU, one of 15 teams competing, will tee off in the first round later this afternoon.
Number 27, BYU women's tennis loses at home to number 29, Arizona, 4-0 to close out their regular season on Saturday. Disappointing loss, but a great season overall. Number 72, men's tennis lost 4-3 to some team up north to close out their regular season. Up next, both teams travel to Orlando for the Big 12 championships beginning Wednesday. Good luck.
We'll give you men's tennis. We took a lot of the others. And women's rugby lost to Life University in the CRAA Division I championship game on Saturday by a score of 40-14. Congrats to the team getting to the title game. Another tremendous year for the women's rugby team.
What do all of you believe has been the most surprising thing that has happened regarding BYU basketball's roster this offseason and the portal? Whew. More responses to our question of the day up next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Station, we continue live from Studio B on a very busy Monday. It's time to pick up the tempo as we move now into the hurry-up drill. Get us started, Jerem.
Baseball and softball swept Houston this weekend. Who needed the brooms more?
The desperation factor was clearly with softball. They were 2-10 in Big 12 play.
Yeah.
had played the hardest schedule of any team in conference.
Oh.
Their four series before Houston were against first, second, third, and fourth place in conference.
And, this just in,
and
that's hard.
Three of them were on the road.
Oh.
I mean, at Texas Tech, at Arizona, at Oklahoma State. So they needed this to regain some confidence. They're trying to finish in the top eight and get to the Big 12 tournament. Sweeping Houston had to have it.
Shout out to the Cougs beating the Cougs. Also, shout out to NASA for Artemis 2. And so Houston did win this weekend, despite the loss to
Big. There was a victory there.
Yeah, they got a victory. That's good. That's good.
BYU men's volleyball split home matches with fourth-ranked USC, winning in four on Friday. Great match.
Yeah.
Was Friday clearly the best win of the season, Jeremy?
No doubt. They had not beaten a top five team this year or even last year. You have to go back to 24, Spence. So that was great. They have some confidence. They're hosting the MPSF tournament next week of, okay, we can beat a team of USC's ilk. USC is one of the best teams in the country. That was awesome. BYU's at UCLA this week. If BYU somehow got one of those two and then got, if you win the MPSF tournament, you're in. Right now they are looking out of the NCAA tournament. So they have some work to do. That was good Friday to get that.
Is there any other path for them besides winning the MPSF to get
if they
the
won
tournament?
Both this week and then two next week? Maybe.
It could be, okay.
That's a big ask, though.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
BYU football's home game against Iowa State moved from Saturday, October 10th to Friday, October 9th. Would you like to Cody Campbell that right now?
Listen, a lot of high school football teams in Utah are going to be absolutely devastated.
It's just different in the – no.
No. I'm all for one Friday night game.
Yeah.
I love that we do the show from the stadium that
very
day.
Fun.
There's a different feel.
Yep.
And then we think BYU is going to win this game. I feel confident they will win this game against an Iowa State team that's rebuilding. It's fun to have that and then watch Saturday and, like, not worry about a game and just watch what everybody else in the country does.
The week before TCU, conference weekend, I know there's no Saturday evening
that's
session
tough.
Now, but
that's
what if BYU has a Saturday afternoon game? Oh, no, we're going to have dual screen. We all do it anyway.
Yes.
Slash, it's all on demand. It's great.
Indeed. Like, we live in a time and technology
and I said
where you
it.
Can pause things and watch them
I
later.
I said it. That's up to you. What you want.
Whatever you
watch
want.
On the TV versus the phone.
Yeah. Our question of the day. What's the most surprising thing that has happened involving BYU men's basketball and their roster this offseason? A lot of movement. Eight players into the portal. At Twiggy or Stone says, nothing really. BYU had a first-round exit. Once that happened, I kind of expected a lot of changes. Too much money and expectations to stay.
I think if BYU had gone to the Sweet 16, it would have been the same thing, probably. I don't feel like there'd be a big difference. Do you?
No.
All of a sudden, Alexei Kostic's like, I'm not going to the portal. I'm staying here.
If BYU had gone to the Sweet 16 and, like maybe Alexei had, like, a crazy run and it was magical for him.
I would think his value would be even higher
yes,
somewhere else.
That's a fair point. That's a
so
fair
I,
point.
So I don't think it'd change much. Timothy Gibletti.
Yes.
Staten leaving when we don't have any bigs. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I felt after he got injured and with the way things had gone, like it didn't feel like the right fit. So that one didn't surprise me at all. Mm.
What? Yeah, I think he'll become a good college player, but my tech sec. It's just a little fast for him right now.
He was not ready for the Big 12 physicality.
Right. I think Oregon State's and the new Pac-12, Gonzaga,
great
coming to the league.
Him.
That's a good fit.
Great fit for him.
And good kid.
At Crash Harmon, the most surprising thing is that AJ hasn't declared to the NBA yet. We all know he's going. What's the holdup?
Chelsea, you know?
Why are you flirting with our emotions?
He has 12 more days, April 25th. So there you go.
Okay. After the break, we'll wrap up the show with our elite voice of the day. Who earned it? Talking surprises. And who gets today's rise and shout out? A lot of options. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Our question of the day, what's the most surprising thing that has happened regarding BYU men's basketball and their roster this offseason? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, is actually an elite GIF from @TrueBlue_Cougar, who there are two arms and thumbs just poking out of a pond with thumbs up. The rest of the body is submerged, and the caption is, when you positive, but the whole team is in the portal.
That's truly elite. Well done.
Really funny. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America Official Credit Union.
Hey,
BYU Athletics.
We got national champs out of Provo, BYU Cheer and Stunt. And then the Cougarettes. Congratulations. Bringing back trophies from Florida.
Let's go.
They did work over the weekend.
Thumbs up out of the pond.
When you positive for the whole team in the portal.
Our thanks to today's guest, LJ Martin.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, my sister. Shout out to Hank Tui Pelotu.
Nice.
We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.